Our first reading is from Jeremiah 36, verses 1 to 18, to be found on page 788. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah. And while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on the scroll. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, I am restricted. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. Perhaps they will bring their petitions before the Lord, and each will turn from his wicked ways. For the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. Baruch, son of Neriah, did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do. At the Lord's temple, he read the words of the Lord from the scroll. In the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, a time of fasting before the Lord was proclaimed for all the people in Jerusalem and those who had come from the towns of Judah. From the room of Jeremiah, son of Shaphan, the secretary, which was in the upper courtyard at the entrance of the new gate of the temple, Baruch read to all the people at the Lord's temple the words of Jeremiah from the scroll. When Micaiah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll, he went down to the secretary's room in the royal palace where all the officials were sitting. Elishama, the secretary, Deliah, son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, son of Akbor, Jeremiah, son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, son of Hananiah, and all the other officials. After Micaiah told them everything he had heard Baruch read to the people from the scroll, all the officials sent Jehudi, son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, to say to Baruch, bring the scroll from which you have read to the people and come. So Baruch, son of Neriah, went to them with the scroll in his hand. They said to him, sit down, please, and read it to us. So Baruch read it to them. When they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear and said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. Then they asked Baruch, tell us, how did you come to write all this? Did Jeremiah dictate it? Yes, Baruch replied. He dictated all these words to me, and I wrote them in ink on the scroll.
The New Testament reading comes from 2 Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Well, good morning to you all. My name's Jeff Deutscher. I'm one of the staff members here at St. Paul's, but you don't see me very often because this time of the day I'm normally at St. James Chapel over in ARV. I'm what we call a parish partner chaplain and help out with the services at St. James. Our services are 8 and 10. But I'm delighted to be with you this morning to share in this sermon series on the prophet Jeremiah. So let me pray before we look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to receive your word and give us the courage to face the challenge it presents to us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The sign stands defiantly shouting its message to the passing motorists. A new danger has hit our society and you need to be warned. There's a new threat to our children. One so serious that action needs to be taken to remove this danger from our classroom. And what, pray tell, is this danger? It's not alcohol, drugs, bullying, abuse, eating disorders, or the perils of social media. No, this new danger is God. And this is what the sign says. Did you sign your child up for this? God says you are stuck in your sin and need to be rescued from his judgment. Opt out now. This sign appears over a highway over at Liverpool. Perhaps the first thing to ask is whether or not the statement is true. Is this something that God actually says? Because if it is true, then secondly, we need to take notice. Well, you won't actually find a verse in the Bible that says exactly what's in the poster, but it does happen to be a quote from Reverend Michael Jensen's book, You, An Introduction. The book is a biblical discussion on what it means to be human and is aimed at 15 to 25-year-old young adults. Certainly the message of the Bible, which we believe to be the Word of God, is exactly that. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sounds like we have a problem. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sounds like there's hope through Jesus. Romans 3:10 and 11, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. Sounds like we need to be rescued. Romans 7:19, 20, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Sounds to me like we're stuck. One of the problems dear Jeremiah experienced was a constant rejection of his message, which was a rejection of the Word of God. And today we find ourselves in a culture and society that is more than willing to reject the Word of God. Chapter 36 that Danielle read, the first part to it, is a particularly low point in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is instructed by God in verse 2 to take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah until now. It appears that up to that point, Jeremiah had simply spoken the words he had received from God. But now God is wanting to make a permanent record of all that he has been instructing Jeremiah to say. I'm not sure whether Jeremiah had a fantastic memory or whether the Spirit of God kept bringing those words to mind. Because Josiah had reigned for 31 years from the age of 8. But we're not told at what point during his reign Jeremiah had begun to receive the prophecies from God. However, as an aside, it's worth noting the report on Josiah's reign, 2 Kings 23:25. Neither before or after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength in accordance with the law of Moses. With that kind of heritage, it is tragic indeed that his sons missed the significance of their dad's legacy. Jehoahaz, his son, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Jehoiakim did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So from great king to disaster in a few years, and the disaster turns for the worse in our passage today. The reason for writing the prophecies God had given Jeremiah is spelled out in verse 3. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will each turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. See, God would much rather save his people than judge them, but if they or we continue in rebellion, he has no other alternative, for he is a God of justice. The threat of judgment is so that the people will turn to God in repentance and receive forgiveness. Well, Baruch is called upon to be the scribe and patiently dictates all the words from Jeremiah. Verse 4, this is how many of the parts of the Bible were recorded. First, they were revealed, then they were remembered, then they were written down. The book of Jeremiah was revealed by the Holy Spirit, remembered by Jeremiah and recorded by Baruch the scribe. It is reasonable to think that this scroll contained all or nearly all the prophecies that now comprise Jeremiah chapters 1 to 25 and 46 to 51. Then Baruch is sent to the temple by Jeremiah. It's now nearly a year after Jeremiah has begun work on the scroll, December 604 BC. A fast has been proclaimed throughout Judah, verse 9 of chapter 36, probably because the Babylonian victory over the Philistines at Ashkelon has created national panic. So Baruch reads all the words of Jeremiah to the people who are gathered in the temple. And lo and behold, there are two responses, just as there are today. Micaiah, who we presume is a kind of public servant, goes to the other leading officials of the day and tells them what he's heard. He is a good man with a godly pedigree. He was the grandson of Shaphan, the great man who served as Secretary of State under King Josiah. When the book of the law was rediscovered in the temple, Shaphan read it and reread it to the king. And the response from the officials of the city is that they want to hear the word of God for themselves. So they instruct Baruch to be brought so he could read it to them. And that's exactly the response Jeremiah had hoped for. Verse 16, when they heard these words, they looked at one another in fear and said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. They were also shrewd enough to know that the king might not respond in a prudent manner. So they tell Baruch, you and Jeremiah go and hide. We're not kind of sure how the king's going to respond to this, so you guys better be safe. The town officials, meanwhile, realise the predicament they are in. They realise God is angry because of their rebellion. They realise judgment is coming unless they repent, and they are afraid. That was a good response. They feared the word of the Lord. The king, on the other hand, neither shows fear nor respect. As Jehudi reads Jeremiah's book, the king destroys it by burning it. He doesn't even wait until Jehudi gets to the end. Verse 23, whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns in the scroll, the king cut them off with the scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and his attendants showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. He commanded that Baruch and Jeremiah be arrested, but the Lord had hidden them. Now, this would be the equivalent of me coming up here after Danielle and Elaine had read from Jeremiah and 2 Peter and ripping that section out of the Bible and having a fire pot here and putting it in the fire pot and setting it on fire. You would be rightly outraged that anyone would do such a thing. How tragic! It's the king of Judah who does this and shows no sign of remorse or fear of the pending judgment of God, no repentance of his sins, only contempt for the word of God. And dear friends, it is a very, very dangerous thing to show contempt for the word of God. But that is what many do today. We show contempt by ignoring it. How many of you read the Bible regularly? Do you take John's encouragement to reap? I was blessed with a marvellous legacy from my parents, who not only had their own personal devotions morning and evening, but at every meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, a devotion was read from the Bible and prayers were offered. In traditional Anglican circles, at the end of the Bible reading, we say, this is the word of the Lord. And people respond, thanks be to God. It is a reminder to us that God has spoken. God is a speaking God. So if God has spoken and we ignore his word, we are courting disaster. None of us like being ignored, either by our husband or our wife, by our children or by our friends. Most of us males say we have selective hearing, but that doesn't really excuse us. To ignore someone is really say, I find what you're saying of no value, so I will treat you as though your words mean nothing to me. And we show contempt by not obeying it. It's really pointless reading the Bible if we don't do what it says. We claim that the Bible has an authority from God. That is, it is over and above human reasoning, science, philosophy, social science, or any other discipline you want to name. It is the word of God. It has God's authority. Some have tried to do what Jehoiakim did, destroy God's word, but all have failed. So God asks Jeremiah in verse 28, take another scroll and write up all the words that are on the first one, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. And judgment is pronounced on Jehoiakim and his descendants because they have not listened. The Fairness in Religion in Schools group, which is the group behind that particular sign that we showed earlier on, is just like Jehoiakim. They want to get rid of the message of judgment and ignore the word of God. Worse, actually, they are wanting to prevent the message of God's judgment against sin from being given to children. Well, thankfully, God is bigger than FIRIS. Even if they succeed, as they have done in Victoria, in getting special religious education taken out of the curriculum. From 2016, special religious education in Victoria can only be done during lunchtime and after school. But God's word can never be thwarted completely. It's easy to think of ways people have rejected God, but perhaps a better way to finish might be to outline the difference it makes when people take God's word seriously. Robert Putnam, author of the groundbreaking book Bowling Alone, documents that religious Americans, and I don't think it'll be too much different here in Australia, are more likely to give money to a homeless person, return excess change to a shop clerk, donate blood, help the sick neighbour with shopping or housework, spend time with someone who is depressed, offer a seat to a stranger or help someone find a job. Regular church attenders give almost four times as much money to charity as their secular neighbours, and twice as many of them do volunteer work amongst the poor, the infirm, and the elderly. See, people who have heeded the warning of God about his anger with their sin and rebellion, who've asked his forgiveness and seek to follow him, help transform the culture because they want to be as Christ to others. Sadly, those who reject God's message of judgment that is designed to lead them to repentance never find their true purpose in life, nor do they have hope for the age to come. It's not easy to tell people that unless they heed God's word, they will face him as their judge. But today, more than ever, that is a message that people need to hear, even if they choose to reject it. Scripture records we will all stand before the judge of the world. And when we do, he will either be our saviour, because Christ has died for our sins, or he will be our judge, to eternally condemn us. And I wonder which of those two it will be for you. God's judgment is designed to urge us to repentance, which is why in the Anglican prayer book, in the funeral service, it includes part of this prayer: while we have opportunity, lead us to repent of our sins and do what we have left undone. Have you heard God's word? Have you repented of your sins? Are you seeking to live a life that makes a difference to those around you? Do you have the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life? That's what God's word gives us absolute certainty about. Let me pray. Father, we do find these words of judgment challenging. We don't naturally like hearing that God is angry with people who've rebelled against him. Yet we kind of get angry with people who do the wrong thing. And sometimes in that misconception, we miss that God's judgment is designed to bring people to repentance. And so we ask that as threats, verbal abuse against the Christian faith rise in our society, that we as Christians will be salt and light in living for you, in being effective witnesses for you, in encouraging people to think about the glorious gospel message, that when we turn in repentance and faith to you, we don't miss out. We receive a hope, we receive a love, we receive a joy totally unknown before. So work in and through us that we might be agents of grace in the Castle Hill to our friends and family, for Jesus' sake. Amen.